Can I beat it and get through? That's kind of what I get impatient on yellows. Correct. Slow down. Green light. What does the green light mean? Yes. Go. That's like, yes, I made it. Right? Got the green light. Get there faster. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the scripture that we have today. Scripture says to go and make disciples. Yes. Got a question or a thought? Did I say something that reminded you of this light? Go. Yeah. When there's no red light, he says stop. Does he try to confuse mom and dad? Oh, you got to stay focused when you drive with Ezra, don't you? Okay, so we're going to look at our stoplight with the scripture. So what light do you think goes with go and make disciples? Yes. Green. Yes. How does the yellow light make sense with our scripture? Slow down. What would we do if we slowed down? What do we do when we're kind of slowing down? Go a little slower. Maybe don't. You know, so if we're going with the green light and we're telling people about God, if we get a yellow, maybe it's, hang on a minute. Listen for where I guide you. Right? Maybe the person you're getting ready to talk to isn't quite ready for that just yet. Or maybe this is how you need to talk to that person about Jesus in their life. What about red? Why would we see red? Yes. Don't cause an accident, right? Maybe God gives us a red light to say, stop, pray about it, and see where I'm telling you to go. So telling people about Jesus, is it easy? No. So when I get a green light, when I'm driving the car, I'm like excited because I get to get there faster. When I get a green light and God says, go, I go, what? Wait a minute. We should be excited when we get go lights. God says, hey, I'm putting this person in your life. I want you to talk to them. I want you to teach them. Right? Okay. When you stop. Oh, good. I'm glad you stop when the car's stopping. That's a good thing. But remember, when we get a green light, we're to go. When we get a yellow, and when we get a green light, let's be thinking, who can we be going for? Who can we be talking to? When we get a stoplight, instead of me being frustrated, I was thinking about this last night. Instead of me being frustrated, I need to take that stoplight, that red stoplight, and pray. God, who do you want me to talk to next? Yes, agreed, Ezra. Okay, so can we pray? Dear God, thank you for these kiddos up here. Thank you for their insight and leading them to be able to help others the way you want them to. Please remind us all when we see stoplights of your scriptures. Help us obey your stoplights for guidance. And when you give us that green light, help us go with excitement on where you are to lead us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, the gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age. And then a New Testament reading this morning is going to be from 1 Corinthians 18 through 25. For the message about the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And then you may be seated. Pastor Zach's going to cover Ephesians with the scripture this morning.
Word of God, for we the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. So last week, we learned and heard from the end of Matthew's gospel that we, that you, are authorized to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? That you are authorized because Jesus was given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And so he commissioned his disciples, and he commissions you and I to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, he says. And he promised, he said, remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so those verses continue to reverberate in my soul. And the Lord impressed upon me that we need to go deeper. And we're going to have a conversation all of May about how we make disciples of Jesus Christ. How that works out in our everyday lives. And it's a process that takes time. And so the first step I wanted to share with you today is each step has one word we can remember. It's a verb. And so the first step we're going to talk about today is how we make disciples of Jesus Christ. Our first step is to share. That we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Do you think we can do that? That we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. So the first, follow me, it means that a disciple decides to follow Jesus. How many of you have decided to follow Jesus? Praise God. He also says, and I will make you. This means that a disciple is transformed by the Spirit of Jesus. And finally, he says, I will make you fish for people. So a disciple joins in the mission of Jesus. A disciple decides to follow Jesus. A disciple is transformed by the Spirit of Jesus. And a disciple joins in the mission of Jesus. That's our working definition of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so what are the requirements for making disciples? Well, Christian disciples are formed inside focused, intentional relationships. In focused, intentional relationships. These relationships boldly proclaim the love and the grace and the truth of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ and through his gospel. See, when we make disciples, it's not a very glamorous thing. It's hard work. It takes time. And at times it can be disappointing, it can be frustrating, and it can be difficult. Because the way that God chose to transform the world is by making disciples. When Jesus started making disciples, and he commissioned them to go, they went beyond the confines of the institution of the temple. They were to go out into the world and to be living examples, to be messages, messengers and the message, to embody the gospel, the good news, that everywhere they went in their relationships with people from all nations, whether they were Jews or they were Gentiles, whether they were inside their religious circle or outside, they were to be that good news to the poor. Their lives were to proclaim that it was an invitation to others that the kingdom of God is at hand and is present among you. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so disciple making requires three essential elements. We need God's word, first of all, to enlighten us. We need God's word to enlighten us. Second, we need God's spirit to empower us. We need God's spirit to empower us. And third, we need God's people. We need God's people to encourage us. So what do we need first? We need God's word to enlighten us. Second, we need God's spirit to empower us. And third, we need God's people to encourage us. How many of you need God's people to encourage you today? We do. We need one another. And in making disciples, in our lives as Christians, I've learned that we have these four different levels, four different spheres of our relationships. The first relationship has to do with our personal relationship with God and our personal relationship with ourselves and God. That as we get to know Jesus, God reveals more of who we were created to be in Jesus. Amen? The second relationship is our domestic relationships. Our relationships at home with our family and our friends, those whom we consider our closest kin. The third relationship is in our occupational or organizational relationships with our coworkers and our colleagues. And the fourth sphere is in our public relationships with our neighbors in our community. But today, I want to focus in on that first core sphere, on our sphere of our personal relationship with God and with ourselves. So in our first sphere, in our personal walk with God, we need to be like Jesus. Remember in the Gospels, as Jesus was going out and making disciples, as crowds were following him, he was preaching the gospel and teaching the Torah, and he was healing people, healing the sick and casting out demons. The crowds grew and they kept following him everywhere. And he was always tempted to be more like an earthly king. They wanted to overthrow the Romans. They were looking to him to kind of do all the ministry for them. But he was there to equip them for ministry in the kingdom. And so to fight that temptation, as the crowds pressed in on Jesus, Jesus demonstrated a constant habit of self-awareness where he would go and be alone with God. Up on a mountain or early in the morning, he would go and be alone with God, away from his disciples and his public ministry. He had to remember who he was and whose he was as the Son of God. And so a disciple's intimacy with God, our relationship with God and Jesus Christ is renewed through our solitary practices, those kind of practices that show our character as Christians. What we do when other people aren't watching, when it's just us and God. Those solitary practices of prayer and silence and reflection and worship. And the fruit, because as disciples, we want to bear good fruit for God that shows that we are growing and maturing as disciples. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." In other words, people will know we are disciples of Jesus by the way that we love one another and by the way that we act and think and speak that reflect Jesus. So the fruit of a healthy personal relationship with God is holiness. That's what we're striving for. That's what God is working in us. We are called to bear the fruit spiritually of holiness, of showing that our lives are set apart for God's glory, that we live not for ourselves, but we live for God and we live for others. Amen? We're called to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Christ has loved us. So the fruit of a healthy personal relationship with God is holiness. And we cultivate holiness through the ministry of spiritual formation. We cultivate holiness through the ministry of what is called spiritual formation. And Joe put up that scripture from Ephesians 3, 14 and 21. Paul prays this for his disciples. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you, may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us, that is the Holy Spirit, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, that is what the life of spiritual formation looks like. It's being rooted and grounded in the love of God and strengthened in your inner being by the power of his Spirit, where you experience the indwelling Jesus Christ living in your hearts through faith. It roots us and grounds us in love. It's hard to love others if you don't have that love to give. We first have to receive that love of God to be able to share and overflow in that love of God. And the best way I know that we can grow in our love and receiving and appreciating the love of God is through a life spent in spiritual formation. See, our spiritual formation underlies and impacts all other aspects of our discipleship and our disciple making. It's the basic fundamentals. How many of you have learned a sport? I used to play basketball, right? And we had that. When you catch the ball, you'd be in like a triple threat position, right? You could shoot, you could pass, and you could dribble. Well, we need to have that triple threat position in our life as disciples. That we need to be enlightened by the Word of God. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be encouraged by the people of God. And the way that we get our fuel to do this is through those ministries of spiritual formation. So we practice the discipline of spiritual formation as we faithfully attend, and you might have heard me say this before here in the Methodist Church, we faithfully attend to the means of grace regularly. So the means of grace when it comes to God's Word are scripture reading and listening to sermons. So you're practicing the means of grace today, right where you are. And God is working spiritual formation and helping you grow in your faith right now. The means of grace occur with the Spirit of God as we participate in those life-giving and life-renewing ministries of prayer and of fasting and of worshiping. And finally, the means of grace occur with God's people. They encourage us. And we are encouraged as we come to the Lord's table like we are today for Holy Communion. And we are encouraged when we spend time together in Christian fellowship. Not just doing things together, but spending intentional time together, getting to know one another. And knowing what's going on in each other's lives so that we can pray for each other or encourage each other or visit each other. Or confess our sins to one another and pray for one another and be healed. Amen? So the means of grace are scripture reading and hearing the Word of God preached in sermons. It's in prayer. It's in fasting. It's in our worship. It's in sharing Holy Communion. And it's in our Christian fellowship. That's the practice. Those are the fundamentals of our spiritual formation. And we are to remember that we are authorized. You are authorized to make disciples of all nations. And so disciple making requires that we have a careful attention. It takes a focus, not just to ourselves. See, the spiritual formation helps us to be self-aware, but we need to pay attention to the needs, the spiritual needs of the people around us that God has placed in our life, like Emily said. When we get that green light to go and make disciples, we might see a yellow light that says, hold on, slow down. We might even get that red light that says, whoa, stop. Open your eyes. They're right there in front of you. Listen and look for the fruit of their life that shows where they might be at in their walk or in their relationship, or maybe they haven't started a relationship with God. And this is an opportunity to share the gospel with them and give them an invitation. And so disciple-making means we need to take attention and be careful and aware of the changing spiritual growth needs of the people that God calls us to disciple, or as we disciple one another. It's an intense cooperative process. So it's like a three-way dance. It can't be delegated. It can't be forced. It requires three parties to work. The first part is our part, your part. That is what we can do to help someone's faith to grow, or to help them to grow in their faith. The second part is about God's part, what God can do to make or cause their faith to grow. And the third part is their part, what they can do or what they are willing to do to grow in their faith. And there's going to be a lot of yellow lights and red lights as we make disciples, because we're going to want to see someone take their next step. But their next step might seem like a leap to them, and they need to take baby steps. That they need to be continually and gradually introduced and enlightened by God's word. And they need to become aware and to experience the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit first in you and through you. And they need to be encouraged constantly for all those times where they might start to get it and then they might misunderstand or they might start to backslide. They need your constant love and encouragement and patience with them. And so as we make disciples, I kind of see it, and I'll put it up next week, but next week I'll have it up on the screen for you. But there's kind of like a wheel in our process of making disciples. Oh, there it is, right here. Perfect. Okay. It might be a little small, but in the first quadrant, and this is what we're focusing on today, it's about sharing. We are to go and to share. We are to share the gospel with others. And so the first group of people that we want to focus on are the people who either they are spiritually dead or spiritually unborn. That is, they don't have a working relationship with Jesus Christ. They might be curious to learn about God, but they haven't encountered the power of God, or they haven't gotten to hear the gospel in a way that they want to follow Jesus. And so their lives are characterized by what you see that resembles unbelief. They might even be hostile to God. But through our life experiences, God can give us an opportunity to love and to spend time with people so that they begin to experience the love of God and the prevenient grace of God through us by the way that we love them and treat them. And they might be more open as they receive the love of God to want to learn more about Jesus as we get the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus and to share who Christ is. And not only who Christ is, but who we were before we met Christ, and who we are now because of Christ, and who Christ is calling them to become. So the first thing is where we learn to share the gospel. And it works our way around, but that's what we're going to focus on today, is about sharing the gospel with others who are either spiritually dead, or maybe they're a brand new Christian, and they're a spiritual infant. And so instead of being that of unbelief, that they have a sense of ignorance. They just haven't learned, or they don't know. But we're going to keep revisiting this wheel of discipleship, because disciple-making is like being a spiritual parent. How many of you are parents? Parenting is hard, isn't it? It takes time. And you can't expect an infant to get up and walk. They're not a toddler yet, right? In the same way, we need to be aware of what we can expect from others who might be spiritually unborn or spiritual infants. The Bible shows us what it describes people who might be spiritually dead or spiritually unborn in their unbelief. Ephesians 2, chapter 1 says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler, the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient." All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, that is, of licentiousness, or doing whatever we want or whatever feels good, and not taking thought of how it affects others. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. In other words, we were just living by the consequences of our own actions and our sins. And we were doomed to fail, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. So it's by grace you have been saved. So the spiritually dead or the spiritually unborn, they need a mature disciple of Jesus who's ready to share the gospel with them. That is, they're ready to share their testimony, their story of how Christ is transforming and has changed their life and can change theirs. And spiritual infants, they're described in 1 Peter 2, 2-3. Peter writes, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 3, "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, as you still are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh. You are of the flesh and behaving according to those human inclinations, aren't you?" See, we can know one another and know other people by their fruit. And we have to take those steps. And so that first step we need to take as Christians to make disciples is we need to be willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and our testimony, but we need to be willing to share Christ by the way that we live and love one another with them. So our first step is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them so that they might repent, so that they might be born again and be baptized into the faith. And again, we need to share Jesus Christ with them in our lives by the way that we love and act and think and speak, how we treat them, and how we see them as God sees them. See, spiritual infants are different from the spiritual dead because they're ready. They've started a relationship, or they've been born again, or they want to take that first step and follow Jesus. And so they need someone to walk with them and help them begin to learn the ropes of their own spiritual formation and practice those means of grace. They need, Joe, go back to that chart. They need a spiritual parent to share your life with them. It's an intentional relationship. You might have to focus on them and give them more time and attention than you might other people, because they're like infants. They need time. They're kind of helpless in some ways. And they need you to share new truth with them from God's word and from the wisdom that you're learning and following Jesus. And they need you to share new habits with them. As you model and you practice, for instance, spiritual formation with them. And take them with you as you go and you love others. Invite them to church. Give them a ride to church. If they don't come to church, ask them why. Stay connected. Make sure that you're encouraging them and giving them the Word of God so that they can be enlightened, and praying for them to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in this first stage of disciple-making is to share. And so if we want to do it like Jesus did, when He made disciples, as He was sharing the gospel, He did two things. And Robert Coleman calls this incarnation and invitation. In this first stage of sharing the gospel, as we begin to try and make disciples with others, maybe for the first time, we incarnate Christ's life to a lost world. Then second, we invite people to respond to Christ. So we incarnate and we live the love of Jesus out with others out in the world. And then second, we invite, we make an invitation to invite people to respond to Christ, to invite them to join you on this journey with Jesus. So, in summary, it's out of our spiritual formation, in our personal relationship with God, that disciple-making starts. As we practice the discipline of spiritual formation, and we cultivate that heart of holiness that God works in us as we practice the means of grace. And we need to be prepared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others as we're enlightened by God's word, as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and as we're encouraged by one another as the people of God. And we make disciples as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, as we incarnate and live like Jesus, and we invite others to respond to him. Amen? Amen.